Welcome to the Drunken Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, this is the podcast where we get angry talking about Doctor Who, right?
Yes.
Very angry.
No,
angry that you just like have to reference it.
Okay, I just talked to you earlier and said I wanted to address this right off.
Here we are.
And I didn't expect you to bring it up. I know. It's also the podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
All while being angry.
No, I was just, I was thrown in the last episode, the Day of the Doctor?
The Name of the Doctor.
The Name of the Doctor, I was just a little thrown, and it was just because I enjoyed the episode overall, and then at the very end, I was expecting Peter Capaldi. To like usher us into the next season, and then the episode we're going to watch today, which I think is called Day of the Doctor. And then I expected Peter Capaldi.
There's a lot of the doctors. I had to check real quick,
which is why I remember. I expected Peter Capaldi to be like up here, and he was going to like kind of like. He wasn't going to remember what happened. And so we were going to explain like 50 years of Doctor Who broadcasting, you know, narrative history to this guy. And then all of a sudden it's someone I didn't know, but I had heard of the War Doctor.
You've heard of John Hurt.
Okay. I didn't know that him as the Doctor. Cause wasn't he also the Master?
No,
I'm thinking of Derek Jacobi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another one of the fine old Brits.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was just thrown, and I think I came off angrier than I really was in the last episode.
I don't remember it. You brought it up, so I'm like, okay. Yeah.
And also, yeah. I said, let's talk about this nonsense. And usually when I say nonsense, I'm referring to our podcast and not Doctor Who.
That's true.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned before. Well, you didn't mention this. This is episode 112 of the Doctor Who podcast, where we do all that stuff and try to be less angry. Even though this is a special, but we're going to include it as part of season 7. So series 7, episode 14.
Because that's what we did with the Tenant specials, and we'll include the Christmas episode in this season. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I forgot how I number those, but we'll figure it out.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, so today we're going to discuss the Day of the Doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so what's this Day of the Doctor about, Steve? Considering it's the 50th anniversary special.
So the Day of the Doctor is about, at the end, the last one, we saw Matt Smith and Clara and John Hurt, the War Doctor, was over there off to the side. And the War Doctor is, let's just say it's... I don't know if he's an actual, I think, yeah, he is part of one of the Doctor's regenerations, right? You're not going to tell me. God damn it. All right. So he is one of them. And he is the one that, made some really bad choices at the Time War, which I still don't know much about. But yeah, so he basically was in charge at the Time War, and he killed a whole lot of people. And it is something that the Doctor has not really thought about. He's basically repressed it. He's repressed these bad memories. But jumping into his weird scar tissue analogy with Clara, brought it all back, these hidden memories. And so basically the Doctor has to face some hard truths about himself. And at the end, they will have a symbolic, I don't know, let's say a lightsaber fight, but with sonic screwdrivers. So they're going to battle together, and then they're both going to die in an explosion. And then we're going to find ourselves in, I'm going to say, Victorian era London with Clara, the Paternoster gang, and Peter Capaldi. And Peter Capaldi doesn't remember a goddamn thing about the last 50 years of Doctor Who. So they're basically going to have to say, "You're the Doctor?" And he's going to say, "The Doctor? Doctor Who?" Because they love to fucking say that.
Crash to credits.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So,
what Steve thinks is going to happen today.
It's wrong, but whatever.
Hey, it's always wrong, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Occasionally you get something kind of right-ish.
Apparently, sometimes I get a small... Then I give you a cookie. a small aspect of it right. Like, oh, the Daleks are in this one. And then like a Dalek will show up in the background and I will have totally forgotten to bring it up when we talk about it later.
Oh, no. Then you're like, I win.
Sometimes I totally forget, like, oh, I said the Cybermen were going to be in this one. And they were, but I just forget to bring it up.
It is what it is.
I know.
So, Steve, we come to the time of the episode where we do the Drunk to Who shot of the episode.
Yes.
Was that redundant? Redundant?
It usually is.
It's very true. So, Steve, we're going to have some booze.
Yes.
We're going to continue having some booze.
Yes.
Yours is Greedo booze, mine is Toronto booze.
Well, I mean,
which means mine's from the Northern Exposures.
We're just talking about the shot tequila. Glass because I have Maker's Mark in mine.
And I have tequila in mine, which is the drink of Canada.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, tequila.
Yes.
You know, it's the drink that the Quebecois drink.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, Stefan, what is our toast today? Stefan.
The human world, it's a mess.
The human world, it is a mess. Oh, my stomach, it will be a mess.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can speak like Celine Dion the entire episode from now on.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Oh, yes, it will. So what the fuck was that from, Steve?
The Little Mermaid.
A Whole New World?
No, Sebastian says it to Ariel at one point when she's talking about wishing she was part of their world. He just goes, the human world, it's a mess. And I'm like, yeah, right now it fucking is. I did see, I did see a funny tweet that basically was like, so at what point in time did Ariel decide which sea creatures to be friends with and which ones to turn into a bra?
Oh, I know, right? So we're about to watch an episode of Doctor Who, a very special episode of Doctor Who. So, Steve, so we thank our Patreon subscribers now?
Not a thing. That's not a thing.
Then what we should do is actually watch a link I just sent you.
Yeah.
A YouTube link. A YouTube link. So we're going to actually watch a 6-minute video first. It's actually a little prequel to the Day of the Doctor called The Night of the Doctor.
Shouldn't it be called like The Dawn of the Doctor?
Well, that would be like, then he'd be taking place in a shopping mall, which, you know, who wants to deal with that sort of shit?
Oh, man.
You know, you didn't have a chance for saying like The Day of the Doctor would take place on an army base. Nice, Steve.
What was the name of the zombie in Day of the Dead? Bub? No.
Bub.
Was it Bub?
It was Bub. It was fucking Bub.
I'm thinking of Chud 2, Bud the Chud. So I know, but when you said Bub, I thought that couldn't be right because stupid Chud 2, it was named Bud. Never mind. God damn it.
Anywho, so we're going to watch The Night of the Doctor. Now, a little context for you. So the TV movie that took place with Paul McGann, there was the TV movie, the failed reboot pilot that took place in America.
Oh, in the 90s. The one that I always think is about the War Doctor.
Correct. So what they actually tried to do was bring back Christopher Eccleston to be like, you know, in this episode, but he wouldn't do it. So then Stephen Moffat introduced someone called the War Doctor, played by John Hurt. But like he wanted to give Paul McGann's Doctor, which has been shown to be canon in the series because they've actually shown like pictures of him. They wanted to give him a chance to show him being regenerated.
Huh.
So
wait, really quick. So has the War Doctor not been mentioned before the last episode?
Never. Never.
Oh, weird. I thought it was a...
No, there was a little repression going on, Steve. So you got repression correct.
Okay. I thought
you win.
I thought it was part of the freaking lore.
Nope. It has been like, you know, cool. So now Paul McGann has been the Doctor. He's been the Eighth Doctor. So everyone assumes that Paul McGann turned into Christopher Eccleston.
Okay.
We're about to see otherwise.
Cool. All right.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make sense. I don't know who, like, the, what is it, the Sisterhood of Karn?
Well, you know, that was a reference from a 70s Tom Baker era.
Of course.
Not the same actress, but we may see her again.
The sister, I'm going to call them Karnies from now on. The Sisterhood of Karn.
The Sisterhood of Karnies, yeah. Well, but it was fun, actually, like, because, like, you know, it's like, oh, we're looking for a doctor. It's like, crash, and we get, like, abbreviated credits and sort of shit. And it's like, you know, but wasn't it, you know, okay, because, like, typically when you see people and it's like, I'm the doctor, I'm a Time Lord. It's like,
and he's like,
wait,
what?
That's a TARDIS. No,
yeah,
I'd rather die.
So we start out with a young woman, Cass, who is, like, basically piloting a ship that's crashing. And then, she throws out emergency signals. We see the TARDIS approach the ship. The TARDIS gets on the ship. The doctor comes in and is like, hey, all his, like, the suave doctor.
He was so good.
He was. I liked him in this brief moment we saw him. And then she sees and when he says it's bigger on the inside, she's like, well, no, wait, you're a Time Lord. That's a TARDIS. Oh,
fuck this.
Fuck off. No.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you're part of the Time War? No, no, no. And he's like, no, I don't participate. And she's like, yeah, you do. And, yeah. And I think he even called himself one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. One of the good ones. He's like, well, at least I'm not a Dalek. She goes, well, fuck that.
No,
you're
she's
just
like,
as bad.
Yeah, she's like, you might as well. I think she said, what's the difference?
Well, I like what, you know, and there's also too, like, before he, like, you know, all that sort of happened, he's like, come with me to the back of the ship. She says, why? Because the front of the ship hits first.
Yeah, I'm crashes,
like,
first.
That
yeah.
was so, it was so doctory.
That is a very doctor line. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, I'd rather die. He's like, well, I'm going to die with you. She goes, okay. And then boom, they crash.
She's like, fine, fucker. And then they crash on Karn, which apparently is a place where with eternal life. And I don't understand how she was kind of survived. She kind of survived.
No, she didn't survive.
Oh, well, they
were able to bring the doctor back. See, like, I guess he died too quick to regenerate sort of thing.
So they brought him back for 4 minutes. And he's
that's
like,
all they can do.
Oh, 4 minutes. What am I? I need a book to read. I need some knitting to do, which I don't know. I heard the I want to do some knitting as a reference to Tom Baker's giant scarf.
It is giant.
So he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get bored. And they're like, and this woman is like, dude, you have so little breath and you're wasting so much of it. And then they bring in Cass and he's like, oh, I want to save her, but he can't. And so they have a weird potion to figure out, like, what he's going to regenerate as. And they say, do you want to be old or young, a woman or a man, a fighter or a doctor, essentially. And he's like, I want to be a warrior. And so then he drinks the potion and wakes up. He says, is it going to hurt? And she goes, oh, yes. And he's like, that's good. Basically, it's like, I've done some shit. I deserve to be punished.
Right.
Or maybe he's just into some pain. Maybe
possibly. We don't really know. You know, yeah. God. Uh-huh. But, like, yeah. So, like, he regenerated and we just saw in reflection, it looked vaguely like 40 years ago, John Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's like... Yeah,
it looked like young John Hurt. Younger. Yeah,
that was all really what kind of was. So it was a nice bridge to show that Paul McGann is canon. Now we see... Because people assume Paul McGann became Eccleston, but it was never made clear.
No.
You know, had, like, Eccleston agreed to come back for the 50th anniversary, it would have been. So they actually had to, like, do a little dancing to figure that sort of stuff out.
So wait, they
approached Eccleston.
No, I know. And I know Eccleston was bitter and he is not happy.
He's only started to re-embrace after 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm part of Doctor Who and it's like, I'm willing to come back again. I'm willing to be accepted into the fandom.
From what I understand, like he found out he wasn't going to be asked back to be the Doctor, like, through a third party, like, before the producers told him, and so he's bitter.
We were talking about, like, series two, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So
when they became Tenants, it was just kind of like, they kind of brought a quote unquote big name in to, like, get people's attention, and then just didn't bring him back. So now for Doctor Who lore, they brought in Paul McGann, You know, it was to do this, but they didn't want Paul McGann because they didn't think that Paul McGann's doctor, because he had already been established with like, Big Finish and stuff like that. They didn't want Paul McGann's doctor. They didn't think it was in the character of Paul McGann's doctor to be the quote unquote war doctor.
Okay.
Whereas Eccleston always kind of played it as like, I'm making amends for something.
I remember talking about how Eccleston seemed always either goofy or haunted.
Right.
So this kind of puts the haunted in some context.
Right, exactly. So, you know, they could have played it off as, you know, he was haunted and like because he was trying to make amends sort of thing, but instead they came up with a new character played by Paul McGann.
Really quick, if Christopher Eccleston had agreed to come back for the 15th anniversary, would basically have gone Paul McGann to Christopher Eccleston?
They might not have even bothered bringing in Paul McGann. But so, yes, right. He would have like eight, because in Doctor Who canon, Paul McGann is the eighth doctor. Christopher Eccleston is the ninth doctor.
That's why they have to call it the war doctor.
Exactly. So he's kind of out of time.
Okay, cool. All right. So do your nonsense.
Yeah, no. Paul McGann played the eighth doctor in the failed TV movie /pilot/reboot of the 90s, sadly. Yeah. The big stuff he was in Aliens 3. He was in one of the, he was one of the prisoners.
Okay.
He was in Queen of the Damned. Delicious. And like you said, he was in Luther.
Yeah. No, because I looked him up really quick before we started recording.
Luther
was the most recent thing.
Right, exactly. So I don't know if he was a regular, but he had like many. You know, who knows? He might be. But he was, when they did the Big Finish, the audio ones, very popular doctor. So when he started naming all these names, so-and-so, 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 I'm sorry. Those were his companions in the Big Finish episodes.
I don't know what the Big Finish is.
Big Finish is, in Britain, they're like audio stories. So
okay. I think I've
referenced them before.
The audio adventure.
Correct.
Stuff. I just don't know the phrase, the Big Finish.
Yeah, Big Finish is the company.
And
They had like, initially, they had like rights to do like old Doctor Who episodes, and they got the new Doctor Who. But anyway, so like, so Paul McGann's had different companions in Big Finish. Okay. So he was naming them, which makes them canon now. Ooh.
Well, and I know that the Doctor Who has a long history of you doing audio dramas. Like there's more in recent times, there've been like Captain Jack, and there've been like more, I think there's a Tennant one with Amy Pond maybe. And
there's War Doctor ones, but you know, I don't think we'll get many more of those.
Yeah.
They actually had John Hurt doing that.
He has a very distinct voice.
He does have a very gravelly and distinct voice.
Yeah. Anyway,
So there was a little taste
of... Did you want to do a random crew member of the episode?
No, hell no. Not for this. I just kind of want to do a brief. So now we're going to officially watch The Day of the Doctor.
Okay.
So play that Fast Stardust music, white boy.
Well, I was... Okay.
Or slow TARDIS music? I don't know, whatever. TARDIS music, TARDIS music, TARDIS music.
It's not a music, it's just a whooshing. Okay.
TARDIS whooshing, TARDIS whooshing, TARDIS whooshing.
Yeah, whatever, bye.
All right, see you on the other side, bye. Welcome back to the Drunk Doctor Who podcast.
Welcome back.
So, we just finished watching the 50th anniversary episode of
Doctor Who.
And of course, it's only 6.5 years later.
Yes.
So it's all fresh and new for you because time works in a different manner for you, Steve.
Timey,
it's kind of
timey-wimey? What is that? Can't you talk like adults?
I hope you had gotten like a whole bunch of the weird little references.
I got some of them. I'm sure like more than half I didn't get. I like the fact that we're closer right now to the 60th anniversary than we are to the 50th.
Shit. Shit.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
But like sand shoes? I'm sand shoes.
I don't know what sand shoes means.
Well, that's what they call sneakers in England.
Oh.
And he wears Chucks. David Tennant wears Chucks. And what does John wear?
Chucks, yes. I doubt David Tennant's character had the vast array of colors of Chucks that you do.
No, he seems to wear either red or white. He was wearing white today. I was very, very cognizant.
I forgot to look at them. Whenever they said sand shoes, I pictured in my head sandals.
Oh.
and like sandals with socks on. And I'm like, what the hell? Or maybe yeah. Crocs. And I'm like, no, that doesn't seem right. But yeah.
Grandpa, sand shoes and chin.
yeah, basically. I took notes, so I have something written down about that.
When you were watching the credits, did you see Billy Piper's name?
Well,
or was she a surprise?
At the beginning?
Yes.
Yes, I did see her name.
I know, maybe you were writing notes. I don't know if you missed it or something.
No, I did. I did see her name at the beginning.
Like, shit. When we got, you know, I remember, like, I was thinking in my head, like, as I'm watching it, and, like, the credits are going, like, ah, shit, should have told Steve not to watch. But, like, of course, there wasn't a proper opening. The credits were,
you know what, let's just start.
Let's just start. Steve, what the fuck happened today?
It starts off with a weird introduction. Like, I honestly thought something might be wrong with the feed from what I was watching it with. Because it was in black and white. And I quickly realized that it was just like, oh, this must have been the very first episode of Doctor Who, the very first intro.
The original titles.
Yes. Which was, it was just strange. It reminded me of Twilight Zone. A little.
Same time frame ish.
Yeah, and then we quickly fade to color, and then we hear Clara's voice, and we see a construction site, and it says, like, I am Foreman, which was just a weird, like, play. It's like IP freely, but it's I am Foreman.
Well, I don't think anybody peed freely on that site.
No,
unless we're going to talk about fanfic or something.
Yeah, and so then Clara's a teacher, which made me wonder, like, when the fuck is this?
Well, when they actually met after she, like, got on the motorcycle and drove into the TARDIS, it seemed like they hadn't seen each other in a while.
Yeah, so I'm just confused as to when in there, because where it was left off for me, they were stuck in the doctor's fucking brain, in his subconscious, wandering around. So how did they get out of there? How did they get back to, like, the real world, to corporeal form, where they can, like, just climb into the TARDIS and walk around or go fly around?
Yeah, the last we saw, we were in the doctor's brain, where it was John Hurt as the doctor.
So yeah, I was honestly expecting them to end up back in the doctor's brain, but now it feels like it's been, say, 6 months.
It's been a while, I think, or at least, like, we've missed out on adventures that they have been on.
But and also how they got out of the doctor's
brain
on
Trenzalore, out of his tomb.
Like, how they got out of there and back into the TARDIS. Like, we missed stuff.
See, when I originally watched this episode, I wanted a little explanation, but then I just went with it.
No, you just quickly just go, okay, so fuck it, they're not gonna tell me how they got back to reality. Because I have a note that says, isn't she in his scar tissue? And when is this? And then it's a motorcycle into the TARDIS. And then it's a reunion after what? So obviously, like, three out of those four notes for me were just like, what happened? How did we get here?
And they got there. And then it's like, hey, let's go on an adventure. And she's like, cool. Hey.
Yeah. So they start to, and then a helicopter kidnaps the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And then there's a unit lady and her daughter who has an inhaler and is also wearing what looks like Tom Baker's scarf.
Not her daughter.
It's not?
No, that's Kate is the daughter of Brigadier, who was
I've had that written down later.
We saw her in the Power of Three, the one with the little cubes. We saw Kate then. The blonde.
I don't really remember.
Well, she was the head of unit. We saw her back then.
I assume that we had seen her before. I just don't honestly remember.
Yeah, the one with the scarf.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, the one with the scarf. That's just like a little callback to Tom Baker, because that's the same scarf.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just...
For Christmas, a couple years ago.
I thought the girl with the inhaler and the glasses, which I can relate to way too much, I thought that was the daughter of the blonde woman.
Nope. No, okay. She was a subservient. Subordinate. Thank you. Subservient sounds weird.
Yeah.
But like, it was funny, like when they had the helicopter in the air, and it's like you hear like a little TARDIS sound. But that was like the phone ring tone, which amused me. Well, I was just glad it wasn't like a racist frog.
What?
You know, the little was a Pablo the racist frog.
Oh, Pepe.
From Pepe the racist frog from like 10 years ago.
Oh, it's still going on.
Well, I'm just glad it wasn't that.
Yeah. So, and then they're very casual about the TARDIS being essentially kidnapped by a helicopter, just taken away and flown to in front of an official, I assume, government building. I don't know. I'm not British, so I don't recognize that building.
Well, at the Tower of London, that's where the headquarters for UNIT is.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, the one point where, like, you know, Kate's just sitting there and, like, you know, Oswin comes over and brings over Osgood.
Osgood
brings over the phone. And, like, Kate Stewart's kind of like, yeah, the Ravens look a little lethargic. Would you change their batteries?
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Well, just, you know, I think it's all for, like, cover and shit. But, I think they brought, like, the TARDIS down in the middle of Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, it definitely looked like they were actually flying a helicopter with the TARDIS dangling underneath.
Yeah, I think they did.
except for they were, like, obviously Matt Smith was not dangling from it the whole time.
But that was Matt Smith that, like, jumped off. There was, it wasn't him. Yeah. There was a little stunt action going on.
But
there.
Not when they were, like, over the Thames, like they, you know.
Right. No, that was a little green screen.
And so then I wrote down in my notes big budget for the 50th.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. And then there's Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Rose shows up and she's talking to the war doctor. She's talking to John Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go, I mean, it jumps around a lot. And then we go back to the Queen. Oh, they get a letter from Queen Elizabeth the First.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth the First. And it's like, wait, what?
Clara is really thrown by the fact that it was the First. And it's like, do you know her? And then they show like a big painting of the two, of David Tennant and her.
But Matt Smith's doctor's like, yeah, kind of. Shifty-eyed.
Yeah, and it's like, and they use the name Darren Brown, and I don't know who that is.
Oh, I love him. He's like a magician from England, and he's a magician / illusionist. If you like, you know, Google him, he's got some like really good. I've like watched many of his.
So he's a real dude.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he's an illusionist. Oh God, in the Sherlock, after like where Sherlock killed himself, and they came back, and it's like at one point they had Darren Brown. That like, you know, one of the explanations for Sherlock coming back was Darren Brown made an illusion that it made him appear to be, and like he guest starred on there. So yeah, so he's a real guy. He's a big. It's their David Copperfield.
Oh, okay,
you know,
or Chris Angel Mind Freak.
Oh, less less fuckwad.
Yeah.
And Darren Brown plays on my team.
Oh, okay.
He's a big old gay magician. I love it.
Okay, cool.
I'm not a big old gay magician. I'm a big old gay banker, but whatevs.
Yeah. So, and then we see Gallifrey Falls, the 3D oil painting.
No, it's called No More. Also known as Gallifrey Falls.
Okay, so fine. Fuck off, you pedantic. Anyway, and that was supposed to be the last day of the Time War. And then they go and they show the Time War a little bit, like... They show, in my notes, I just wrote the word explosions.
Lots of explosions.
In all caps. John Hurt needs a gun. They say Arcadia has fallen, which I assume is a city on Gallifrey.
At one point, they say it's the second largest city on Gallifrey.
Yes.
Arcadia fallen.
Fallen, and then John Hurt says, "Soldier, I need a gun." And so he takes the gun and he shoots the word "no more" into the wall.
No more, no more, no more.
And then in my notes I have aggressive TARDIS. I don't remember why.
Oh, because it like burst through a wall.
Oh, that's right. It's exactly why.
And it helps them Dalek explode.
Yes.
Because, like, there's, like, these people get cornered, and it's just kind of like, you're going to kill us now? And the Daleks are like, fuck yeah, we're going to kill you. It's the Time War, bitches. And all of a sudden, the TARDIS comes booming out, like, they explode.
Yeah. And then Gallifrey, we go to the war room with some generals, and they see a holograph picture of the No More, and they're like, oh shit, the doctor's involved, things are gonna go bad. But you know, things are already going bad, so you know. And they talk about whether he's a fool or a madman
with a box.
And yes, and then they go and they talk about the forbidden weapons of Gallifrey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and there's one called The Moment, and it's a galaxy eater.
Nom nom.
A sentient interface.
Well, you know, yeah, they made it so smart that it developed sentience. And so it like tries to talk the user out of using it, basically.
Yes, I know why I have Rose written in my notes. It's because Billy Piper appeared in the opening credits.
Yes. Oh, okay.
I wish she hadn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so the doctor serves notice, essentially, to the generals about the fact the war is going to end. And then he takes this galaxy eater weapon, and he goes to some deserted planet, and he walks for miles.
No, that's Gallifrey.
Oh, it is?
He was like basically in the far out suburbs of Gallifrey. He was in the Rockford of Gallifrey.
Okay.
If Chicago is here and Rockford's like 50 miles away, that's because like off in the far distance, you can see the little, you know how like the, like, you know, where they always show like Gallifrey, it looks like some snow globe thing.
Sure.
You could see that far off in the distance. So
okay.
This weird little farmhouse, which may or may not show up in later episodes.
Whatever.
Timey-wimey-ness.
And so the doctor, John Hurt, is basically, he's looking at this thing, trying to figure out, and he goes, God, I wish there was a big red button. And then Billy Piper pops up and says that it's a wolf, and it's a bad wolf, and she has questions for the doctor, and she's there basically just she's a little loopy, she's a little weird, and she's the interface that has sentience.
Right. She says, I'm here because you know me, and he's like, yeah. I don't. She goes, past, present, future, it's all weird. I'm Rose or bad wolf. Bad wolf. No more, no more, no more. And I thought it was excellent that like they had Rose appear to someone who has no idea who the fuck Rose is.
Yeah, because Rose is a loaded presence. Because she was in what, the first three seasons of The New Doctor?
Yeah. So Eccleston and Pettit know who she is.
Her character ended up on a weird plan, on a weird alternate Earth, married essentially to the clone of David Tennant's Doctor, and it was just so like she there's more presence of her. Like if it had been Martha or Donna or Amy, it wouldn't have had the weight.
Right. Well, what's fun too is because, you know, it leaked that Billy Piper was going to be part of the episode.
Yeah.
So everyone assumed it would be Rose.
Yeah.
So it ended up being not Rose.
Well, yeah, it was Rose. It was
because, you know, we already, like, Rose already had her ending, and then she had another ending.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, it's good they didn't take her out of her thing and, like, try and give her another ending, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if, you know, for, like, Martha, it was kind of like, you know, like, Martha's already got her happy ending with, you know, other Jones, and, you know, if it was just kind of like, you know what I mean? So it felt like they chose wisely.
Yeah, and it also felt like it almost should have been, well, like, what if it had been Jackie or some other recurring character? What if it had been Captain Jack who had represented, like, the interface or, you know, the user interface?
But I think it plucked from his mind someone who was important.
Someone of significance.
Respect.
Yes.
Right, Jack not so much, you know what I mean? Because Jack didn't have, I mean, at one point, clearly, the doctor loved Rose and wanted to settle down with her because a different part of him settled down with her.
Yeah, and he likes Jack, but he's also like wary of Jack.
And if it was Jackie, it'd be kind of like, oh, really? Really?
I think it would be hilarious.
That chav, that nasty chav lady.
Or Donna. Maybe it should have been Donna. I don't know.
What if it was Susan?
Who's Susan?
Exactly.
No, really?
So that was his first companion, his granddaughter. So it'd be kind of like, yeah, you know, people were like hoping it would be something like that. But I'm like
Sarah,
know, or what if it was Romano? You'd be kind of like, who the fuck's Romano?
But Sarah Jane, who we've actually seen in New Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still.
So, yeah. So there's basically Not Rose and the War Doctor go back and forth. And Not Rose says there's basically says there are consequences for genocide. And that his consequences, his punishment is going to be to live with his decision to
did
wipe
we get
out
into
everybody.
Did we, you and I, get into why she's there? Why he took the why he took, you know, her?
Well, he's going to blow up the planet and all of the Daleks with it.
So he's going to commit genocide on the Daleks and his own people.
Yes.
It's
one of those greater good situations. Like he's going to kill hundreds of billions of people or beings
to save trillions
essentially. Yes,
well, because like when we saw John Hurt's character last, when you know that little the Night of the Doctor that we watched,
yeah,
it's like he turned into a youngish John Hurt. So you've seen it takes a long time for these guys to age.
Yeah,
so like for him to age from say a 35-ish John Hurt to a 75-ish John Hurt, that was probably a good long time. He's been down in the trenches.
A couple hundred years, probably.
Easily. So, maybe. You know, right, exactly. So he's probably just kind of like, you know what? I need this to go away. It's not going to happen. Yeah. The only way it's going to go away is if we all go away.
Yeah, and so it's like Daleks and children first is what I have in my notes.
Yeah.
Because he talks about children, children of Gallifrey, and he says, one day I'll count the dead children, but not now because I don't have the time or the energy. And so...
Rose of Christmas Past makes a time portal appear.
Yeah,
and she's
says,
like, watch, what's going to happen? And all of a sudden a Fez comes through. And she's like, oh, I didn't expect that.
And then we see... the Queen Liz the First and David Tennant, and it's her husband.
Well, they come, you know, it's like they're both on horseback and they march out of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And he's like, see your majesty, it's bigger on the inside, if you know what I mean.
And she's like, yeah, but the door isn't, and you almost took my head off. Dumbass. Let's have some grapes while we lounge around outside.
And then he has a plan, and his plan is to like this. He starts snogging her, and he's like, I want to make you my wife. And she goes, oh, I would love it. And then he's like, see, I knew you wouldn't because Queen Elizabeth the First wouldn't do that. So you're a Zygon. She's like, woofa. And then it turns out the horse was a Zygon.
This is the first of two times he says things and assumes that who he's talking to is the Zygon, the evil clone version of Queen Liz. And it turns out to be actually her.
You know what's, you know, it was great too, like watching this. Did not David Tennant feel like the Doctor?
He totally did. He didn't miss a beat. He's got a machine that goes ding, as he describes it. And then
that was so his Doctor.
I know. Oh, totally. And the physicality of it and the energy of it. Yeah, it totally felt like his Doctor.
If only they get his hair right.
And before the scene, though, there's essentially a unit lackey who gets a cell phone call. And this will be important later, but he like looks at the phone and he's like, well, what? This is impossible kind of thing. And then we cut to another scene.
Forget about that until it's revised later.
Totally forget about that. Yeah. And then, so the Zygon is a horse. And then the queen is like, yeah, we're going to be married, dumbass. And he's like,
oh shit.
Virgin queen. So much for history. Cause I guess Queen Elizabeth the First was the Virgin Queen. That's one of her nicknames. I'm not going to judge the veracity of that. So the Doctor runs into the woods because that's where the Queen ran, and the Zygon was imitating the Queen, and or the
Zygon, well, not so later.
Yeah, the Zygon ran into the woods, and the Doctor's talking to a rabbit. oh, you son of a bitch! And
you. Oh, you're just a rabbit, aren't you?
It turns out to just be a rabbit. It's not the shape-shifting Zygon. And then all of a sudden, two queens show up. And then a time fissure appears in the sky, and a Fez falls out. And David Tennant is like, what the fuck?
And then we cut back to present day.
To the under gallery that has the dangerous art in it. It's like, which right. I found amusing.
I assume it would be nudes.
Oh, yeah. And they keep mentioning the young woman with the Tom Baker scarf. They keep mentioning her inhaler, so I know it will be important later.
Yeah.
Because something like that isn't brought up unless it's going to... Like her boss will just be like, inhaler, which is why I think I assumed it was her mom, because she was, like, very into it, and just, like, there was a familiarity with their...
Right.
A familiarity with them, and, yeah, and she was, like, worried about her.
Right, and she's just kind of like, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, no. It's like, no, we're going to the Black Archives.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Not even the doctor can get in here ever, and he will never, ever know about this. Dun, dun, dun.
And so they're walking through there, and Clara is with them, and Clara says to the doctor, he's just like, he just can't walk past a fez.
No, how can he?
You know, and so he throws the fez through the time fissure, and then he jumps through and says, Geronimo, we already heard an Alonzi.
Alonzi!
Yeah. And so then it's the doctor and the doctor, and they're doing that mirror bit that like, you know, Harpo Marx and Lucille Ball did on the Lucy show. And
did you not squee? Were you not charmed?
It was fun. Was it
not fucking charming?
It was very entertaining.
I'm like, oh, you're like, you know, it's like pull out their sonics, and it's like,
yeah,
and
they're pointing slightly different physically sonic screwdrivers at each other. And he talks about how skinny David Tennant is, and he is.
Yeah.
And then they both put on glasses at the same time, and they're both
amused by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
it's like, yeah.
And so Clara, I think she sees the fez, but doesn't, I don't know.
No. Well, they came into the one room where, like, you know, the reason Kate brought them there is because, you know, oh, there's like, here's some of that weird Time Lord art.
Yeah.
And that, like, has been here since Queen Elizabeth I installed it here.
Yeah.
And, but it, like, the glass is broken. It looks like something came from within the arch. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
And that's why, like, you know, that's why Matt Smith's doctor is there. And Matt Smith's doctor is like, he threw his fez. He's like, oh, wait, this is where I'm supposed to go. So then he goes and shows up where David Tennant's doctor
is. So they're there. And so the time fissure appears again, and they're talking to Clara, and Clara basically tries to spook the old English gentleman. The guards who are trying to protect the queen. And so David Tennant, or no, Matt Smith takes the fez and he throws it back through the time fissure.
Right, come on, Clara. Let's make sure it works.
It's not Claire calibrated or whatever to go two ways. And so it ends up like right in front of the war doctor.
Yep.
And he's like, what the fuck?
I guess this is where I'm supposed to come in.
Then they say it's a confused polarity, and that confused polarity leads to the war doctor.
All right, reverse the polarity, which is like a third doctor thing. So it's like, you know, reverse the polarity. So they're both trying to reverse the polarity. So they're both canceling out.
Yes.
That's right.
No, that's what I mean by confused polarity, is they were both reversing it. And so it confused it. And then, they all three, like John Hurt shows up in the woods with the two of them, and John Hurt is like, oh, you two are clearly companions, because
where's the doctor? Because I'm supposed to be where the doctor is,
because the doctor in John Hurt's mind is supposed to be an older gentleman,
or he's at least a serious minded person, like, yes, himself.
He's not supposed to be in his 20s. And I did really enjoy later on when he talks about when they like wield their sonic screwdrivers like lightsabers, and John Hurt is like, those are just tools. You're threatening to build them into something. That's not a weapon. But I think it was David Tennant who talked about how John Hurt had a posh gravelly thing going on. So, and then there's like all three of them. So there's three of the doctors, and they're pointing sonic screwdrivers at each other. And then, Clara, I think that's when Clara speaks through and says, yes, I'm a witch. David Tennant says, Matt Smith says, timey-wimey. And John Hurt is like, can't you talk like an adult? Like, what are you even saying? And David Tennant's like, I don't know where he gets it. It's like, well, no, that came about with you. You were the doctor when that happened.
But he's like, yeah, no, I don't know where the fuck that came from. Mm-hmm. So now they get surrounded
really quick. He makes fun of Matt Smith for talking with his hands. And that is definitely.
Can you not stop talking with your hands? He's like, yes, of course I can't stop talking with my hands. Damn it.
And that's when he calls them Sand Shoes and Granddad.
So amazing.
And then they go to the tower.
Yeah, they get surrounded by the Queen's Guard. And then the Queen shows up and basically implies that she's the Zygon Queen. And bring him to the tower. And he's like, oh, the tower. Because then Clara and Kate hear it. It's like, oh, going to the tower a good 500 years ago, look for something in like the jail room.
Yeah, Clara is smart enough to realize like, oh no, they said the tower, so we need to go to the tower and look for something that they would leave.
Yeah, so the three doctors in the tower, Matt Smith is like grinding like time coordinates in there, and like the three of them are bickering, and then like the moment shows up, and only the war doctor can see her.
Yes.
And like, again, like
Billy Piper.
Yes. Well, yes. The moment.
I'd forgotten it was called the moment.
The interface.
Yes.
Let's call her the leopard iOS. Cause she is a hot little kitty.
Why wouldn't we call her Rose iOS? Cause there's an OS in Rose.
So she'd be the
R-O-S-E.
I don't know. I was trying to go with like how they all the iOS's are all kitty. Hello, look at me. I'm a meow meow.
Those are the OS's.
Do, 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 do,
and
do,
they
do,
used to do, be do. Big cats, but now they're locations. The Mac OS's are like the newest one is going to be called Big Sur.
Well, that's
Catalina, and there's High Sierra and Sierra, and God damn it, I don't want to talk about my job.
So let's call her Cardiff. So yes. Cardiff is sitting there. Oi.
So before this, I think we see the lackey, and we see the scarf and lackey guy. They're hanging out, and there's these.
There's like statues that are in the entrance.
And there, the doctor was like, please analyze the sand.
There's sand everywhere. Why would there be sand there?
And it turns out, and I, in my notes, wrote weeping angels. Because I assumed that it was the, you know, because it's a big fucking anniversary episode. I thought the weeping angels were going to appear because they're a big villain.
But there's statues that have sheets.
Yeah, so I honestly assumed there were weeping angels under those sheets. So they take the sheets off and they're not weeping angels. They're just shapeshifters.
Who
had taken over.
Later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't remember exactly when.
Yeah.
The Zygots. Zygons.
Zygons.
There's more Zygons, and they copy the people that we've seen before that work for UNIT. Right. Including the girl with the inhaler, and they're like, ah, crap, I hate it when I get a defected one.
Right, because like essentially what's going on, when we cut back to like 16th century England, and like Clara shows up because, well, why not? You know, she basically has like a Captain Jack's time bracelet thing.
Oh, yeah, this happens.
And then she's quartered because, yeah, so Kate ended up being like a Zygon, and then like Osgood and the other guy show up, they're Zygons, like, we're here because now we have a time thing. Mwahaha, mwahaha. And Clara's like, psych, see ya, bitches.
Yeah, and because she uses the coordinates that they find that the doctor had, not the coordinates, but like the code.
Yeah, the time coordinates.
That the doctor had carved into the wall.
Yeah, so Clara went and saved the three of them.
Yeah.
But then like the queen shows up and she goes, haha, the door was open the whole time, stupids.
That was a good moment. And they also talk about American movies at one point and rip on them and how time travel works in American movies.
Well, yeah, when they're the black ops thing, they're just kind of like, yeah, we won't let any of our like, you know, Americans have it. Have you seen their movies? They'll fuck this shit up.
But really quick, they also talk about how they erase the memories of everyone who works there at the end of every shift. So they always think it's their first day, even though they've been there like 10 years.
Yep.
And that's important, at least right now, because, or maybe in the future, I don't know, because they show the director of unit, that lady, the blonde lady, with Clara in pictures, like they've met already, and Clara is does not remember this.
Yeah, but Kate remembers.
Who's Kate again?
She's the head of unit, the blonde lady.
Oh, the blonde lady, okay.
Gemma Redgrave.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
And then I in my notes I wrote, Grandpa is annoyed. Because I was referring to John Hurt as Grandpa. And then the three doctors are talking, and it turns out that Matt Smith doesn't remember the number of children that he killed on Gallifrey, but David Tennant does.
They're, yeah,
like 2.7 billion or something. And my thought was like, that is an absurd number of people.
Well, that's just children, though.
I know. That's what I mean. If right. It's just children, like, yeah.
Right, because the war doctor's like, wait, you wouldn't have thought about this? Yeah. And then, like, yeah, Matt Smith's like, no. But then, like, David Tennant's like, yeah, 2.7 billion. And so then, like, the moment, the rose, is like, see, the doctor who regrets and the doctor who forgets.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, they're both like dealing with it in like the way they can.
And there's a confrontation between Tennant and Smith where Smith won't tell him what's going to happen and just goes, spoilers.
Wonder who we got that from.
Yeah, I know. And then they talk about the sonic screwdriver, and they each have a different sonic screwdriver you know, physically it's different, but they talk about how it's the same sonic screwdriver software, but a different case.
Wonder what that parallels.
Oh yeah, I was literally just going to say it. Just like the doctor, it's the same brain but a different body.
Yep, basically. So it's like, yeah. Then they escape. They're going to calibrate this the thing, but like, who gives a shit? Because like now, like Clara's there, and they get captured by the queen, who they think is the Zygon. Who basically
hates
the Zygon.
Sorry, it was a great moment where the queen was like, dude, the door was, or Clara was just like, the door was just unlocked. And then all three doctors are like, well, in our defense, like, why would we expect the door to be unlocked? Come on. I think they call him Sam Shoes and Dickie Bow.
Yeah.
Or like bow tie. Then the unit lady is investigating in the future. And the Zygon, I don't know. There's suspended animation of some kind in the oil painting. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Okay, so what happens?
There's a cup of soup with time.
Can I dash forward a little bit?
Oh, sure.
Please let me, because we're just like just kind of going on about this. So the queen breaks them, and they think that she's a Zygon queen, but she says, no, I just let them think I'm the Zygon queen because they thought I was just a woman and I killed the Zygon queen, who was also a woman at the time. Ha ha ha. I'm the queen, bitches. And she's like, so their plan is they're going to like repopulate because the Time War killed their planet. They want to take this one. Yeah. And it's like, but like they need to wait till the time is right, which ends up being like, you know, 500 years in the future. So they use that time, the Time Lord art, to store themselves for when the time is right, which is where those Zygons came from later.
Yes.
So there's a shitload of Zygons.
Yeah.
That we haven't seen. But then, so it's like, oh no, we've got to like go back.
And then they say, like, they reference kissing the bride. When David Tennant kisses Queen Elizabeth, it's like kissing the bride. But then they talk about how, yeah, there's a lot of kissing in the Doctor's future. And so I assume that's a new Doctor thing, the romance, the kissing, as opposed to like the older Doctor wasn't a lot of physical affection.
Well, they were just kind of like making fun because in the old Who, there wasn't that sort of thing.
Literally what I'm saying.
Yeah, so the War Doctor kind of bridges that.
And then they say like they actually say the phrase Back to the Future. They're going to get in the old TARDIS and go back to the future. All three of them are in a TARDIS of some kind. And then the TARDIS, like the bridge keeps changing, and they talk about the round things. And you would know this better than me, like which bridges they actually are in. I recognize the one that was Tennant's.
Yeah.
And then we see Matt Smith's, and then we see the one with like round things like they talk about. And I assume that's an older one.
So kind of like whoever was like touching the controls at the time,
yeah,
it like made their TARDIS appear, because remember, it's all, you know, it's just an interface.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they're like going and like, you know, but first David Tennant's doctor marries Queen Elizabeth, and he's like, I'll be right back. She goes, I'll be waiting for you, my love.
Yeah, that's, it's weird.
But what's funny is like the next time he sees her is many years in her future. Wait. It was the Shakespeare one, the Shakespeare conundrum.
Oh, I'd have to see. I kind of want to go back and watch that one with this knowledge that they're like married and she's pissed.
Well, yeah, she comes out like, because now she's like 40 years older, and she's like, arrest him, off with his head. And he's, yeah, like, wait, what did I do? So this is his past for him.
Yeah.
You know, so well, it's like,
his, yeah,
so that's, yeah, why she's pissed at him. So yeah, so that's when we like leave her,
and then we go to the unit headquarters in the Tower of London, and the unit directors kind of face off, where one is a Zygon and one is the regular unit director, and she's basically setting off, she started a nuclear weapon to on a timer.
She's gonna, like, blow up the Enterprise.
She's gonna blow up London. Oh, yeah. And or at least that area of London. And she says, I am, and I copied this down, I am Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart's daughter. Yeah. And I was like, that's a fucking old Who reference that I don't get.
Yeah, basically. But like, so yeah, she sets off the thing, but so then she forgets. That? Oh, that was the head of a unit for John Pertwee, for Tom Baker,
okay,
for... Peter Davidson, you know, so he was
in the 70s and 80s, he was the unit director.
Correct.
Okay.
And this is his daughter. So okay, like, but like this, she sets off the thing, and then like, but the other one who is her exact duplicate can turn off. It's like, you know, I could do this all day. And, you know, I could do this all day. But then, yeah, the doctors show up because they went inside the one painting.
They had to go inside the painting because the Tower of London is TARDIS proof.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird.
Right, but they were like, they put themselves in stasis.
Yeah, John Hurt realizes like, oh, we can use the painting like a cup of soup. Just add, instead of just adding water to make noodles, we're just adding time to make reality different. It's weird.
Yeah, so the three doctors and Clara come crawling out of the painting.
Yeah.
And like then the doctor makes everyone forget if they were Zygons or humans, so they both shut it off, so now they have to negotiate.
And the doctor calls the lackey, the unit dude, in the earlier scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McCool or McGoody or whatever. He's not important.
There's yeah, and so basically the in my notes I wrote twinsies want a treaty, because it's the twins, the dual directors, they're negotiating a treaty, and because the doctor will erase their brains, but the lady with the scarf, she figures it out, because the real woman has a little asthma episode, and the other lady like hands her, like the Zygon one hands her inhaler, and it's like, shh, don't say anything. Well, yeah, we figured out who's who, but fuck it, let's just.
So she's one of the good ones.
Yeah. Or she's just like, yeah, this is just going to be easier if we pretend we don't know who's who.
Right. So then we kind of like basically leave them, but now we've got to like, now we've got to solve the other thing, because John Hurt's doctor has been talking to the Moment / Rose / you know, the bomb thing. And but he's like, I'm ready to make a decision.
He's also been talking to Clara, and they've been bonding. We see a Cyberman head in the tower, and Rose is lurking in the background when Clara says that the John Hurt's doctor's eyes are younger, and I guess, yep, it ages your eyes when you commit genocide. But the grandpa doctor can't be talked out of the war.
Yep. So he goes back to that farmhouse.
And now there's a big red button.
A big friendly red button.
Yeah. Well, not friendly, because it's going to commit genocide if he pushes.
And she's like, are you sure you want to? He's like, I'm more sure than ever now. And then but she's like, you know what? The sound of the TARDIS has given hope to many people, even the doctor. So then Smith and Tennant show up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so all three of them are there, and it's like the I think John Hurt says something about the difference between being forged in fire and lighting the flame. And so he's implying that Smith and Tennant were forged in fire and he's the one to light the flame. But then basically they all have a little reunion and they're all like, they've got their all their hands are on the big red button. I think David Tennant says that it's time locked and they shouldn't be there. Rose calls them clever boys.
Yep.
Which is a nice callback.
Right. And so Clara's like, you know, hey, you can't really do this.
Yes.
So they figure out like, oh, wait, we don't really need to do this. So they figure out a way to save everybody except for the Daleks. They can go fuck themselves.
Well, yes, of course. And Clara, oddly enough, she is not for mass murder. So she's all for the alternate plan of freezing Gallifrey, basically taking Gallifrey out of that moment in time and letting the Daleks all shoot themselves because they're all surrounded Gallifrey shooting.
Right. It's like, yeah. Hey, the three of us can make this happen. Just all three of us. But then like, you know,
they call themselves the warrior, the hero, and John Hurt, essentially.
Well, no, John Hurt was the warrior.
Oh, sorry. The warrior. And then the hero was David Tennant, right?
Right.
And then Matt Smith was just the doctor.
Just the doctor.
Yeah.
Right. But then they figured out they had like hundreds of years to make calculations because of the war doctor. But then, so then we see all the doctors show up. It's like, we're here to save the day. And like, you know, Gallifrey is like, no, you really shouldn't. It's like, no, I'm going to. And they're like, okay, all 12 of us are here. And then you hear a Scottish voice going, oh, 13.
And then when we see Peter Capaldi's eyes.
His eyebrows are amazing.
Well, yes. And so basically it's like the three doctors, which turn into like all 13 doctors, which versus the billion Daleks. And they go equidistant around Gallifrey and they freeze it. And they put it in a pocket universe because it's a fucking pocket universe. And we've talked about those before.
Yep.
And they say, Geronimo and Alonzi, and then for God's sake.
Yeah. War Doc is like, seriously? Yeah.
And then the Gallifrey stands instead of no more. And then we see a cup of tea.
Yeah. They're back and now they're looking at they're looking at art. They're back in the Art Institute or whatever. And it's just kind of they're all going off one by one sort of thing. War Doctor goes first.
Yeah. It's like, the worst case scenario is you failed doing the right thing instead of succeeding doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. So then he leaves and he regenerates into Christopher Eccleston.
And the war doctor won't remember this because the time streams are out of sync.
Well, anytime like there's been any kind of, I don't think you've seen any of this, but like anytime in the past where they've had like multi-doctor stories, it's just kind of like for whatever reason they were brought on, then they weren't meant to remember exactly what happened because it's kind of, again, time-locked.
Timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey, exactly.
Yeah.
So then, then David Tennant's like, well, I'm out of here, but I don't want to go.
They leave Smith there with, and the old curator wants to talk to him. Why don't you talk about the old curator?
Yeah. Well, Smith is just kind of like, you know, Clara's already gone inside. She goes, well, when you're ready, come back inside. I'm going to get cleaned up. And he's sitting there and he's like, well, you know what? Maybe one of these days I would just kind of like to retire and be a curator here.
Yeah.
And then then a voice chimes in. Oh, maybe you will in the future. Basically, Tom Baker shows up.
Yes, he does.
And you recognize Tom Baker.
Oh, yeah.
So Tom Baker and Matt Smith are just kind of talking. And, again, Matt Smith recognizes that this is possibly a future version of his past self.
Yeah.
And Tom Baker, the curator, says, you know, sometimes you might revisit some of your favorite faces.
Some of your old favorites.
Yeah. So, you know, so again, it was very meta. And it was delightful. And the first time I experienced it with people who hadn't seen it, you know, there was like a lot of minds being melted. So then, Smith goes off And
I think he goes off looking for Gallifrey.
Well, you know, the curator says, you know, maybe you're going to go searching for something that you think you've lost. And he's like, yeah, maybe I will. Again, kind of like letting him know, like, I know what you're talking about. Or do I? Who knows?
Yes, who he says, who knows? And when he says knows, he actually touches the side of his nose.
Very Tom Baker-y. Very Tom Baker-y.
Yeah. And then Clara is asking about his dreams and about dreams of where he's going. And then, I don't know, there's a long monologue. And then we see a lineup of all 13 fucking doctors. And they talk about going home the long way around.
Yep.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I'm knowing a little bit that I do about how Christopher Eccleston wasn't like really happy and didn't want to return. It kind of taints it a little bit, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It would have been nice if he had joined in, but I mean, it worked with just the two of them.
Oh yeah, no.
Tennant and Smith plus the War Doctor.
Very delightful.
So, John, I know you usually ask me this at this point, but I'm going to ask you, as a lifelong fan of Doctor Who, did you like this episode?
Very much so.
Okay.
I liked it very much when I first saw it. I liked it very much when I saw it again. I liked it very much when I saw it again. I think this is like the fifth or sixth time I've seen it. And yes, it's very fan service, which part of me appreciates.
Especially also, fans of David Tennant.
Well, fans of New Who.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, for fans of New Who, fans of Old Who and New Who, because, you know, then there was a lot of like callbacks to many different things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Okay, but did you enjoy it?
I did. The whole, Queen Elizabeth I stuff kind of threw me. But I realized they needed that in order to like set up the time travel through paintings thing.
But also too, it is kind of, you know, because David Tennant's doctor said that he had married Queen Elizabeth I. Again, you probably have no memory whatsoever of it.
I know
you don't. But like my point is there was a lot of bringing the continuity into it that you didn't even realize.
Oh no, I believe that 100%. Like I assume that there's like for Americans it'd be like, hey, let's go back to like the Civil War or something else. It's like, you know, you know every time at any time travel show set in America would go back to like the Revolutionary War or to Lincoln or something. I assume that Elizabeth I is one of those big figures that they would go back to, and so like for English people that would be a touchstone.
True.
So I really liked this episode. I assume I got like a third, maybe 25% of the references. I don't think if I had just been watching Doctor Who on my own instead of for this podcast with you, where we've done like a couple of relapse episodes where we watched Old Who, I don't think I would have recognized Tom Baker. But I would have known that it was like a reference, but yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Great.
It was a good use of the Doctor Whostery. I'm a lot less annoyed about John Hurt now.
knowing why he was cast.
Well, no, I like John Hurt. It's just that when I expected Peter Capaldi as a transition to the next Doctor, and then all of a sudden it's John Hurt, I like this because it explained the backstory. It explained the time war that I assume has been referenced for decades. Not really. Is that a New Who thing?
That's kind of a New Who thing. I mean, they made a reference in the TV movie, but it was more of a passing reference.
The TV movie with Paul McGann.
Yes.
Okay.
It was more of a passing reference discussing the time war, and I think it was new then sort of thing. But okay. This is basically kind of like to explain, you know, some jumps possibly in stories or something, you know, maybe say like, you know, who knows? You know, maybe, you know, when they had the plan wasn't always to have it where it was going to be like a direct you know, restart of the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. So, but after everything, it was kind of retconned in.
Yeah, everything was retconned in. So there was a transition between the made for TV movie with Paul McGann and the and season and the ninth Doctor with Christopher Eccleston. So apparently there was another Doctor in between there. And eventually, will I find out how it's possible to have more than 13 regenerations?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe one more episode, you'll figure it out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, when we were watching, I mean, at this point, we already knew that Peter Capaldi was going to be the next Doctor.
Well, yeah, like it's, they showed his eyes.
Right.
When they were fighting the Daleks, and it was like all 13 of us. And I actually went back and watched the scene where they had like all the Doctors CGI together. And I fucking counted them to see if Peter Capaldi was in there. And it was like, no, the War Doctor was in there, but Peter Capaldi wasn't.
No, they kind of filmed that as like one of the last things they actually filmed. It wasn't filmed during the actual episode.
Okay.
So, you know, when they were filming this, they hadn't cast Peter Capaldi yet, but like before the show went out, they had cast Peter Capaldi. Yeah. And
yes.
And so yeah, so they inserted that in there just for kicks and giggles.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, because I have wondered in the past, like, it's a time travel show and the Doctor has run into kind of his own timeline before. Why can't the Doctor just see who he regenerates into next?
Well, again, like, Well, they kind of explain that where, like, you know, any interaction the Doctor has with his other selves kind of like, it kind of like makes it white noise outside of them being present.
Yes. Yes.
You know, while they're together, it's all kind of good. But when they separate, then it's just kind of like, what happened there?
Yeah, no, it's a good way to kind of excuse that. But I do know, just from being on Twitter and following who I follow, and I assume I'm not spoiling anything, but there is after Jodie Whittaker has an episode where she meets like a future version of the Doctor. That's all I know.
Future or past? It's not. No one's really sure yet.
Well, does it really matter? Because it's time travel. You know,
well, like, in several years of the podcast, yes. We'll discuss it then.
Oh, shit. I won't remember.
I know.
Okay.
So this episode itself, it's technically a prequel to Rose.
What do you mean?
This happened before Rose. So it was like,
oh, yeah.
They kind of said, you know, where
John Hurt.
John Nathan Turner. Was it John Nathan Turner? The prior showrunner to Stephen Moffat.
Oh, okay.
He basically said, like, you know, Christopher Eccleston's Doctor was very new when he met Rose.
What do you mean by very new?
Like, he was freshly regenerated.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So, you know, so when he's just kind of like, oh, what do I look like? I don't know what I look like, you know, in the first episode of Rose.
I think he did make a reference to his ears sticking out.
Well, that was just kind of, you know, again, more little fan service.
No, so, I know, but like they do. So like you would know how big your ears are if you had been in that physical form for like a year or two.
But he didn't because he wasn't yet. Because
he was brand new. So that makes sense. So it does.
Kind of like when David Tennant's like, oh, I hope I'm not a ginger or whatever. And then it's like, oh, I'm not ginger. Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's like one of those things.
But so the War Doctor, and I'm really quick. So the War Doctor, when he transitions to Christopher Eccleston, because of the, let's say, the trauma of, in the Doctor's mind, blowing up Gallifrey and the Daleks, like he represses that memory. So Christopher Eccleston's Doctor has a giant gap of memories? Or
no, he recalls that he participated in the destruction of Gallifrey and the Daleks. He doesn't remember it exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And also too, it's like, there is a, not necessarily a gap, but he knows he's responsible.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, this is also kind of like a prequel to when David Tennant's Doctor left, which would have been the end of time part two. Because remember when he went on his whole like goodbye tour?
Yeah.
We like saw Jack and he hooked up Jack with like that crewman, and we saw Martha and, you know, Mickey, and like yeah. they're all happy shooting.
And Rose hands. And Jackie.
All, you know, yeah, he did like a little like the goodbye tour. So this happened just prior to that.
Okay.
So this is, yeah.
So this episode was right before the end of Tennant's run.
Basically, yes, because he did reference that he had, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I did a whole bunch of things. I married Queen Elizabeth and blah, 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 blah. You know, so there was, so they were, again, kind of like fitting that into their.
Okay.
Now, the Zygons appeared in the 70s.
I assumed.
John Pertwee's Doctor, the third Doctor.
Yeah.
And not since then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was kind of like, you know, who would bring back?
Giant suckers and their good kissers.
Well, it was, and also our shapeshifters.
Yes.
So it's that's kind of fun there.
Yeah.
So not saying we won't see them again.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, the director of this is Nick Horan. This is his fifth of five episodes. So okay. To date, he hasn't done any more Doctor Who's.
Yeah.
As of when we did it, he did the Girl Who Waited, The God Complex, Asylum of the Daleks, and The Angels Take Manhattan. So he's all been like Smith.
Yes.
Okay.
And I assume that he's gone on to direct The Toast of London and like Queen.
The Doctors and Cortlandt Street and, you know, Steak and Kidney Pie Pub and all that sort of thing.
Oh, see, I was going to say Queen Anne on Toast.
It's like, oh, the good governor.
Yeah, the good governor.
Yeah. A good spell, G-U-D.
Yeah.
I imagine. Again, Gemma Redgrave, she returns as Kate Stewart. We saw her last in The Power of Three, or we saw her first. So
how long ago was again. The Power of Three?
Power of Three was still this season, because it was Rory and Amy with the cubes. Remember, Rory's dad was there?
Oh, so okay.
It was after cubes, dinosaurs on a okay. spaceship.
The cubes took over were trying to take over the planet, and they were this innocuous thing.
Right, they were just okay. cubes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So
some of these, it's like, because I know UNIT has been around for a while. It's like, so did I see this with like Tennant as the Doctor or whatever? Like I don't know.
It all gets kind of jumbled.
Yeah.
So David Tennant's post Doctor Who, not counting this. He was in the movie Fright Night.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. He played the Roddy McDowell character.
Oh, sweet! All right,
but he was more kind of like playing it as a Chris Isaac, not yeah. Chris Isaac. Chris, you know, the magician kind of guy. You said his name earlier,
Chris Angel.
Chris Angel. He was more of like, because he had like, you know, under makeup on his eyes and shit like that.
And I do like Colin Firth, and I think Anton Yelchin is in that. Like, it's one I've wanted to watch, a remake I've wanted to watch, because I do like the original Fright Night.
Amanda Bearse, man. Amanda Bearse.
Yes, Marcy on Married with Children.
Damn straight.
Was the high school sweetheart or whatever of Herman's Head.
Yes. Well, he did three seasons of Broadchurch. Which I yes. told you I you, binged this week.
You watched recently, yes.
I basically watched like 17 hours of David Tennant playing a proper Scotch the way he is.
Yeah. And Jodie Whittaker and Rory are in that too, right?
Jodie Whittaker, Rory, another guy who was in this episode of one of the, you know, we're the general on...
Gallifrey?
Gallifrey. The darker skinned man. I almost said African American, but the African British guy. He has like a recurring role in Broadchurch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, he's not a regular, but he kind of like pops up now and then.
Okay.
You know, kind of as a pervy guy.
The recurring.
A recurring character, yes. David Tennant was also in Good Omens, which we've talked about.
Oh, I liked Good Omens.
He played a bad guy in Jessica Jones.
Which I haven't watched yet because
I haven't either.
The Marvel TV shows, I don't know. It's one of those things where someone says like, hey, you just have to get through the first eight episodes and then it gets really good. And I'm like, but I don't want to invest that much time.
The time. No.
Yeah.
Well, he's done Big Finish, like he's done more Doctor Who stuff.
But and, his audio.
is audio, but yeah, he's done like some stuff with like Donna.
Oh, okay, because I know Billy Piper has done it too, right? And like most of them have actually returned in the audio dramas.
Oh yeah, like Captain Jack's done it, and now for David Tennant, you probably are aware of this. He plays Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, in the new DuckTales. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy Piper. Since her time, the big profile stuff. She was a Secret Diary of a Call Girl for four seasons.
Yeah, I don't know. What,
she was, I guess she got naked. Penny Dreadful. And I guess she's done big finished stuff with Rose. But like, it was funny. It's like not necessarily Doctor Who stuff. It was like her and her mom and her dad.
Jackie and Pete?
Yeah. So again, cool. I haven't heard of it, but I was like, I was seeing like, oh my God, that is so amazing.
Yeah.
So kind of like the Rose Chronicles.
I did watch the first two. There were three seasons of Penny Dreadful. I watched the first two and it was okay. And then we were just like, I don't need to keep watching this, but she was good in it.
Oh yeah. Did you recognize Elizabeth the First?
No, but she seemed very familiar.
Well, in movies, she was in Love Actually. She wasn't one of the leads though. She was in From Hell. You know, that Johnny Depp movie.
Yeah, I've seen that with Heather Graham.
Yeah. Again, I have no idea. Maybe she was one of the hookers or something. She was in the recent Doolittle.
Oh God. I did not see that.
Yeah. The one that like just totally tanked.
Yeah.
But, she was Stacy in Gavin and Stacy.
Oh, that's a British sitcom, right?
Yeah, it's like one of those like that had like I think like four seasons, which means there's like 10 episodes.
But yeah, there was an American remake, I think, that lasted like for 1 year or something.
Yeah, if that. But yeah, so she played,
which was Stacey. Like Ned and Stacy.
So kind of like when Donna, you know, because what's her face was already like a well-known kind of like sitcom comedian actress,
Catherine Tate.
Yeah, we're like the Catherine Tate show and stuff. So she was already, I think, was she already established as Gavin and Stacey? Anyway, but like,
I don't know.
What was delicious about this show, she was hired to play Queen Elizabeth, but she was, when she was filming, she had just had a baby like a month before.
Yeah.
So she's like, so I've seen like interviews where she's like, oh my God, my boobs looked amazing. She's like basically like some corset, which made them go up to her chin. So they were very pronounced.
Yes.
That's kind of all I've got, which then leads me to...
Yes.
Our unsung crew member of the episode.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Today we're going to talk about David Newton.
Okay.
David Newton did stunts.
Ooh.
There was a bunch of stunts.
Were there?
There was a lot of shit blowed up, remember?
Oh, that's true. And there were people jumping through time fissures and things.
And like people riding horses and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
You know, again, I don't know what specifically who he doubled for. But, well, you know,
his name
there
is David, so I assume he doubled for a dude named David.
Or maybe he doubled for John.
No.
Because that's another biblical name.
Whatever.
So he was in Harry, and for stunts, Harry Potter's and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Part 2.
He was in Captain America First Avenger.
Cool. So he's been in things that didn't have a number in the name, right?
Well, he's also in Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
He was in World War Z.
Oh, nice.
That's what they call it in the Britons.
Oh, yeah, I assume so.
The World's End.
Yeah.
Thor, The Dark World. You know, the one that sucks.
The one with Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah. Again, I think that's the one everyone hates the most, I think.
It does suck.
He's been in all the Kingsman movies, even the one that hasn't been released.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The one that hasn't been released is a prequel, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like The Kingsman.
Yeah. No, I know.
Game of Thrones. He was in 5 episodes of The Misfits. Not The Misfits, of Misfits.
Hey, we liked some of those.
We did.
Yeah.
He's been in a bunch of the new Star Wars movies, Spider-Man Far From Home, and he also did stunts for one other Doctor Who episode in Cold War.
Oh, the submarine one.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all I got on that one.
So anybody, you want to, why do you forget to toast? Sometimes?
All right, then I will show it like, oh, so David Newton, unsung crew member of the episode, we salute you. I'm going to have some more Lagunitas because why not? You'll drain that beer of the 19th time.
I think, I'm done with that Hoegaarden. I had a Lagunitas little something something earlier, and then a shot of Maker's Mark, and then I had a 312, and now I have a Hoegaarden, and that's probably all I'm going to have for the day.
Probably. So, yeah, so that's it on this episode. Steve, how can people contact us?
They can email drunkterwho at gmail.com, or they can go to drunkterwho on Twitter, or S-R-D-A-H-L-I-N on Twitter. S.R. Dahlin, that's me, and those are your best bets, and those are the easiest things to do. Like, you probably have your email open in the background of your computer right now. Just go hit new message, hit drunkterwho, the thing you're listening to, and just send us an email and say, hey, I don't know what to write. Okay, cool, bye. And that's it.
And doesn't even cost you anything. You've already paid like vast amounts of money for like Comcast.
Oh,
or
no,
Warner. Or RCN.
Way too much for your ISP. Your ISP.
Or like in England, it would be the BBC.
The government subsidized. Yeah.
Right. Like, or in Australia, it'd be like ABC, which doesn't actually stand for American Broadcasting Company. It'd be like
Australia's Broadcasting Company.
Or Australia's Beta Comedians, you know, because they're just weird down there.
Broadband Company.
Oh, I hate you. So the next episode of Doctor Who that we're going to be watching is called The Time of the Doctor, Steve.
Oh shit, we're gonna
we have the name of the Doctor, we have the night of the Doctor, we have the day of the Doctor. Now we're gonna have The Time of the Doctor.
All right, so an episode like 2 weeks from now gonna be like the hamburger of the Doctor, or like
this is a Christmas episode.
Aperitif of the Doctor.
This is a Christmas episode, so
okay.
If they called it like the Christmas time of the Doctor, would that make you happier?
No, because then it would be like with what, space sharks?
You love space sharks.
Oh, who doesn't?
Put what some chum out for the space sharks. It's called The Time of the Doctor, Steve.
Okay. So The Time of the Doctor, this one is obviously, I don't know, we left this one off and it just seemed normal. Like they were just flying through space and time. What's going to happen is it's going to happen, start off in a random place and time. And Clara is just going to be wandering around. Let's see, the Moors of Scotland in 1723. And she's gotten separated from the Doctor. And the Doctor is, because the Doctor has seen something and he's gotten distracted and wandered off into the woods. He's seen a vision. And he keeps like getting distracted by it. And so they keep trying to go on these adventures. They go to different times, different spaces. And the Doctor keeps, every once in a while, he'll just get distracted and wander off. And finally, Clara is just going to be on her own, on a planet, let's say Excelsion 4 in the year, I don't know, 5700. So she's in danger. The Doctor comes and saves her and he dies and turns into Peter Capaldi. I don't know. I've got very little energy.
Cool.
But yeah, so the Doctor, it's basically one of those things where he's haunted by the fact that he's about to die. He kind of suspects he's about to die because it's timey-wimey. He knows that he's not going to be in the physical form of Matt Smith forever. He knows that it's eventually going to come to an end, and it comes to an end in the year 57 something on a planet. I don't know. And it just happens. And I'm sorry, I ran out of energy.
It's all good. So let's see if that happens. So until next time,
I would give you an exact year, but I can't remember the number of strikeouts Nolan Ryan had in his career. I know it's ended with 5,700 something, but I don't remember the.
Didn't give a shit.
I know.
I knew you were like pulling a sports reference out that I just did not get
a baseball reference.
One
yes.
Fuck about.
I know.
So
I know.
So until next time. Let me just like also say it's like, for continuity's sake, the next time we'll be talking about the Christmas episode.
Yes.
After that, we're going to do one of our interventions. So we're going to talk about like season 7, series 7.
So yes, we're going to look
back.
Which
we're including the 50th anniversary and the Christmas episode.
It has been a long season, I believe, but it just feels that way because there were a lot of episodes. And I think, because wasn't this episode split, like, or this season split into like two parts?
kind of, yeah, the first half had Amy and Rory, and then they disappeared, and the second half had Clara. So it did feel almost like two seasons.
It's weird that there was like two companions like during the season. Like,
yeah,
it was
we'll be discussing two different Christmas episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Come that intervention. And then after that.
And we think we're going to have Denise on our Christmas episode to join us on the Christmas episode.
Well, we should ask her first.
Shh, I know. It'll be fine.
Yeah. If she's there, if she's not. And then after that, we're going to do.
We're going to do the intervention. So look back. And then we're going to do the relapse, which is going to be the made for TV movie and adventure in space and time.
Yes.
So, and that is, from what I understand, a TV movie, basically a dramatization about the creation and the original production of Doctor Who.
Correct.
And my wife, Heidi, who has been on, I think, two episodes of Drunkter Who before.
Yes.
She's going to join us for that one.
Yes. I think the first Christmas episode, and I think also the Blink episode.
Yes, yes.
So she's coming back for Doctor Who episode.
Those are the only two episodes of Doctor Who she's seen. Uh-huh. So for her to come back for an episode that she doesn't need to know all the shit is it's going to work.
Right, exactly. So our next episode will be about Christmas and all that Christmas brings to us. Yes. So until then.
And if you want to suggest, if you have any thoughts about season 7 that you want to share, send them in and we'll read them during the intervention episode where we look back on this season.
Yeah, because like if I have energy or if I have like, if I give a shit, sometimes I come up with like little games.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I usually come up with little games or like little quizzes or something. So if you want to make my job easier.
You test my brain.
Send it in. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've already done like a little fuck, marry, kill. Thank you, Tim.
Oh, yes. Or it was like beer, bourbon, and Malort.
Yeah, fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you people want to like send some other stuff in, that'd be great because it's going to make my life easier.
Yeah.
Until
2 weeks from now when we talk about the Christmas episode.
Yeah, I've been John.
And I've been Steve.
And until then, we'll see you in the front seat.
What?
I'm trying to come up with a phrase. Wait, this isn't like that driving show.
Wear a mask.
Until then, wear a mask because you're not a dumb fuck.
Yes, okay. Anyway.
And until then, you've been Steve.
And you've been John.
And we're saying goodbye.
Bye. I don't remember if we, I think we do always do Christmas and then intervention and then relapse.
Yes. That's usually how we do it.
Okay.
Because relapse has nothing to do with the season itself. So
no. And I kind of like the fact that the relapse is after the intervention.